times, and briefly, had just walked through the wide doors. Although he must have felt out of place in the palace, he didn't look it. Not only did he wear a fashionable pale gray jacket and dark trousers, but he held himself well and spoke with assurance. "Mr. Domadi." Bria swept to Kier's side, holding out her arm in a way that made it clear he was to offer his. When he did, she led him toward Leia. "Thank you so much for accepting our invitation, particularly on such short notice. It's an honor to be asked, Your Majesty." The only sign that Kier wasn't totally at ease was the way his dark eyes kept glancing down at his queen's hand on his forearm. "Hi, Kier." Leia would have felt like her smile gave away too much, if it weren't for the fact that his presence made it obvious her parents already knew as much as she did. "Mom, what's this about?" Bria shrugged, then readjusted the folds of her silvery shawl. "I know it's lonely for you sometimes while we're having our banquets. Tonight I thought you might enjoy some company. We've ordered a wonderful supper for you both. The droids will set up a table for you right here." Leia was torn. On the one hand, dining all alone with Kier in front of this spectacular view, she'd had daydreams very close to this. But she'd begun forming other plans for the night, ones that felt even more urgent. Behind her, she heard her father greeting Mon Mothma.
"Was Senator Lenz not able to make it?"
"Winmi sends his regrets," Mon Mothma said. "But of course I'll meet with him upon my return." To talk to him about a dinner party? I doubt it. It occurred to Leia that her mother might not have invited Kier only as a kindness to her daughter. She might have intended to distract Leia from what was really going on. If so, this was the first time Leia had gotten one step ahead of the Queen. When the banquet began and the other guests departed along with the musicians, Leia and Kier were left all alone, except for the servitor droids, who swiftly brought their dinner. Although Leia took her seat and ate and drank at the appropriate moments, her mind raced toward the banquet room and what might be happening there. It was a measure of her curiosity that even Kier Damati couldn't hold her attention completely.
"So you never get to attend the banquets?"
he said, carefully sipping the nectar in his dark red glass.
"Even though you're a princess?"
"Princesses don't get everything, you know." Leia intended it only as a joke, and was surprised when he ducked his head as if in apology.
"I know that. I realize when we met I might have come across..."
"Kier, it's okay. I am ridiculously privileged. But my family and I try to use our privileges to benefit others even more than ourselves." That was a rote answer, the kind of diplomatic response her father might give. Never before had that reply seemed inadequate to her. It was such a thin sliver of the truth. Her parents were doing more for the galaxy than anyone else could dream. More, even, than they should.
"I believe in the Royal House of Alderaan," Kier said sincerely.
His eyes met hers with his usual uncanny intensity, as if catching the light of the candle droids floating overhead.
"We've been served well by our monarchy for 100 generations. That's more than most planets can say, and a hell of a lot more than the galaxy at large could ever claim."
That was the second time today she'd heard someone freely criticize Palpatine without looking around to make sure nobody was listening. Kier's courage struck her even more powerfully than Mon Mothma's had. Leia lifted her chin.
"You don't believe in the Empire."
"Who does, besides his brainwashed cannon fodder? Palpatine's rule is a mockery of what government should be. Corruption is everywhere, and they don't even bother hiding it. His cruelty is known to everybody, but the only ones who admit it are the ones loathsome enough to praise him for it. I know the Republic had its problems, but compared to this, they were nothing."
Kier leaned back in his chair, turning his gaze toward the russet red horizon. The first stars had become visible in the darkening sky above.
"Every day I thank the Force I was born on Alderaan. At least I can be loyal to my planet and its rulers. At least I know our happiness and safety isn't bought with other people's misery. We're free here in a way almost no one else in the Empire will ever be."
A shadowy idea in Leia's mind began to take form. Even minutes ago, she'd thought this move would be too daring for tonight, that it was something she could consider later on, weeks or even months in the future. But now, I trust him. He's a good person who cares about our planet and believes in my mother's rule. Maybe he cares about me, too. And Kier would always want to do the right thing. Maybe he can help me figure out just what the right thing would be. She took up her own goblet of nectar, mostly to have something to do with her hands. You know, she said as casually as she could manage, the most ancient parts of this palace are more than 1,000 years old. Kier nodded. I've studied the palace, even wrote a paper on it once. It's the whole history of Alderaanian architecture in one massive building. His smile turned shy. What are my chances of a tour? Stay focused, Leia told herself. The banquet hall is one of the oldest rooms of all. Back then, everything was lit with lamps and candles, and servants were all living beings instead of droids. Only living servants? Sounds primitive, he said, straight-faced. In the same dry tone, Leia replied, somehow we endured. Anyway, back then, if you wanted to listen to what was being said, without being seen, you couldn't plant listening devices. They had other methods. Kier sat up straighter, a hint of a smile playing on his face. Your Highness, are you considering eavesdropping? He was eager to play a game. For one instant, she wished that was all she was inviting him to do. The invitation she had to offer was far more precious, and far more dangerous. Leia sat up straight and leaned across the table, willing him to understand at least part of how serious this was. You have to make me a promise. No matter what you hear tonight, it goes no further than this palace. You never mention it to anyone but me, ever. I don't want to reveal my parents' secrets. I just want to share them. So someone else will know what I know. So I don't have to carry this information alone. You have to promise me on whatever it is you hold most sacred. Kier's entire demeanor changed. Maybe he couldn't guess what he was about to discover, but he knew this was far more than a game. Slowly he nodded. I promise you on Alderaan itself. All right then. A shiver swept through Leia, and she wasn't sure if it was fear or anticipation. Follow me. Chapter 16. Several hundred years before, Alderaan's people had favored a style of architecture featuring ornately carved screens of pale stone. Sometimes these screens would be inlaid with precious gems by the rich and powerful, while a common citizen enjoyed intricate patterns carved straight through the rock. Truly fine artisans would cut spots in the stone so thin that light could shine through it, though the surface remained unbroken. For the most part, it was this last, most finely wrought stone that lined the banquet hall of the palace. The royal family back then had conducted espionage the old-fashioned way, by eavesdropping. Their artisans had skillfully crafted the walls so that natural indentations, or shadows in the stone, hid tiny openings, each of which was angled to amplify sound from the room into the small passageways between these carved screens and the inner walls. Very small passageways. Were humans smaller back then? Kier whispered as they crawled along the floor. Shadows and dim light played in patterns along their bodies as they went. Probably. The passage wasn't as uncomfortable for Leia, but even she found it a squeeze. Then again, maybe the royals of old wanted espionage to be difficult. They reached one of the tiny chambers large enough for someone to sit down. It was barely big enough to fit both her and Kier, and they could only manage by sitting side by side, shoulders and legs touching, their faces very close. Leia didn't mind.
The soup is delicious, said Cinderin Malp. Really, Bria, your chefs have outdone themselves. Why, thank you.
Leia's mother spoke in her most queenly voice.
I shall be sure to share your compliments.
Kier raised an eyebrow. Scandalous.
Just wait, all right. Doubt nagged at Leia for an instant. What if she was wrong about the purpose of these dinner parties? What if it was really all rich food and conversation? No, I'm right about this. But that doesn't mean they aren't already done talking about their plans for the night. Do you hide down here all the time? Kier murmured. The light filtering unevenly through the thin carved stone painted half his face in shadow.
Storing up secrets?
I used to sneak around in here when I was little. Not so much anymore. The last time she'd ventured behind these screens had been about 7 years prior, when her parents were dining alone a week before her name day. Leia had been young and self-centered enough to assume they'd probably talk about her presence. Instead, she'd heard them laughing softly and flirting, and she'd wound up scurrying out, red-faced, just in time to avoid a very unwelcome lesson about exactly what spouses did together in their private hours. That had been enough to keep her from ever venturing back here, until this night.
Was it lonely, growing up in the palace?
Kier's question caught her off guard. I don't know, she admitted. It's not like I have much to compare it to. Sometimes I wished I had more playmates, but it's not like I didn't have fun. He looked up and around, clearly indicating their secret chamber. Obviously, he was about to speak. But then one of the servitor droids rolled closer, and they both fell silent.
And so I said, if that's the shortest route you can find, never mind.
Senator Pamlo sighed, a touch melodramatically.
It's not like traveling around the various restrictions isn't hard enough already.
A thump on the table, and then Vaspar said,
And the situation's only gotten worse after that fiasco on the moon of Naboo.
Leia sucked in a sharp breath. She hadn't told Kier about her trip to Onoam. She'd known her parents wouldn't want her to. But from the way he looked at her now, she knew he'd heard the news about Moff Panaka's death, and at the least understood that the situation was even more complex than the murder of a provincial governor.
Saul Guerrera has gone too far,
Senator Mulp said, his reedy voice growing louder by the word.
This isn't the way we intended to operate.
We have to put a stop to it,
agreed Pamlo. Bria spoke next.
Guerrera's partisans were horribly out of line. They murdered innocent people, and perhaps the closest thing to an ally we'd ever have found in the higher echelons of the Empire. But I would ask you to consider, we cannot expect our struggle to remain bloodless forever.
It's a slippery slope,
came a voice Leia didn't recognize.
You're dangerously close to condoning an assassination, Your Majesty. Where do we go from here? To war,
said Bria. A silence fell. Leia stole a glance at Kier, whose lips were parted in astonishment. But he was listening too raptly to notice her observation. After a few long moments, Cinderin Mulp said,
May that day be far in the future. I agree wholeheartedly,
Bail replied.
But we must begin to steel ourselves. Darker days are coming, whether we act or not. If we do act, however, we can hope for a better dawn.
He showed no hint of the doubts that plagued him, the arguments he'd had with his wife. Either he'd finally been convinced, or he understood the importance of presenting a united front.
Those are considerations for the future.
It was Mon Mothma who spoke next, as calm and steady as any queen.
For now, we must find a way to get Saul Guerrera's partisans in line. His use of violence is indiscriminate and premature, and therefore just as dangerous to us as it is to the servants of the Empire.
If not more,
Bail said.
Do you hear yourselves?
It was the man whose voice Leia didn't know.
We hate the Empire's cruelty and violence. How can we claim to be morally superior when we stoop to violence ourselves?
Mon Mothma answered him.
There comes a time when refusing to stop violence can no longer be called non-violence. We cease to be objectors and become bystanders. At some point, morality must be wedded to action, or else it's no more than mere vanity. If you mean,
Senator Pamlo's voice trailed off as the great doors to the banquet hall swung open.
Esteemed gentle beings,
announced one of the protocol droids.
We will now present a musical interlude for your enjoyment.
The soft shuffle on the floor was the sound of Kittenak footsteps. Just great, Leia thought, and knew her parents felt the same way. They'd hired living musicians for the night instead of droids. Living musicians were harder to dismiss without suspicion, which meant any rebellious talk was over for the time being, if not for the entire evening. She and Kier shared another wordless look. Instantly understanding her, he began to crawl backward out of the passageway, and Leia followed. They didn't speak until they were back on the terrace. The servitor droids had already cleared away the table, though one instantly rolled out with two more goblets of nectar. Leia accepted hers without even looking at it. Studying Kier's reaction was more important. Finally, he said, "How long have you known about this?" "Not very long." Leia had chosen to trust him, but she already knew that giving him specifics would endanger him just as much as her parents and their allies. "I want to support them, but after what happened in the Naboo system, I don't know what to think." "Someone has to take action against the Empire." Kier breathed out sharply and said something she hadn't anticipated. "But I wish they'd have this conversation on any other planet in the galaxy." She frowned. "What difference would that make?" He turned back to her and briefly touched her hand, maybe trying to soften the impact of his words. "You have to realize that your parents being involved in this puts our entire world at risk. If Emperor Palpatine ever learns about this, we could be bankrupted, put under blockade. Younger people could be conscripted, or we could even be put in work camps. Who knows what else?" Leia's worst fears for her parents flickered feverishly in her mind. Would they be executed publicly, graphically, as an example to other rulers? The thought made her feel seasick and weak. Almost as bad was the thought of Alderaan reduced to the devastation and desperation she'd seen on Wobani. Yet she summoned the nerve to say, "Alderaan is a key core world, which means we have power, money, and influence. We shouldn't hide behind those things. We should use them for the common good." Kier considered that for a while before answering. She liked the way he thought through things carefully before he spoke. "It's not just your family hiding behind Alderaan's status. It's not just people like me either. It's millions of children and elderly people, including countless shelters and refugees from hundreds of troubled planets. Alderaan may be the one truly safe place in the entire Empire. Protecting that place isn't cowardice, Leia. It may be the greatest gift we could ever give the galaxy." "I have to think about that," she said. "But do you agree? Something has to be done?" After another pause, he nodded. "Your parents are brave, and they're strong. We'll need a lot of people like that if the Empire's ever going to fall. But the bickering around that table, I can't tell whether that's a political movement or a disaster waiting to happen." As much as she would have liked to argue with that, she couldn't. The lack of unity among the potential rebels against the Empire was even worse than Kier could know only from what he'd overheard in the dining hall. He continued, "What if they're being led astray, deceived, even entrapped? My father fought in the Clone Wars, Kier. He knows how to tell friend from foe. If he couldn't, he would never have survived." Kier inclined his head, acknowledging her point. "They've got to cover their tracks. Make it possible to deny their involvement if the Empire ever learns about this. Your parents are clever enough for that, surely." "They're clever enough." They were. However, Leia knew that her parents were at the core of this movement. Any revelation of the rebellion's existence would necessarily condemn them. Even if her parents could think of a way to conceal their involvement and protect themselves, they would scorn to do so if it meant it left their allies in jeopardy. But telling Kier that would only worry him. Better to let him believe that some kind of safety could still exist. At least he was on their side. Leia stepped closer to him. "You already promised never to say a word. But I need you to promise again." "I swear on Alderaan itself," he repeated. His eyes met hers with that intensity she was coming to know so well.
Our secrets stay between us. Always.
She wanted to hug him in thanks. Or maybe she just wanted to hug him. But then the terrace doors swung open, revealing her parents and their guests. A few paces behind them rolled more servitor droids with glasses of Tanneray. If Leia hadn't felt so tense, it might have amused her, watching all of them pretending to have nothing more substantial on their minds than the beauty of the night and the sweetness of the wine. Leia sent 2V to get recharged so she could ready herself for bed in silence. As she sat in front of the window, absently brushing her hair, she thought about what Kira had said. Were her parents being irresponsible to risk their world? Or would it be more irresponsible not to use the power and wealth of Alderaan in the service of good? A rap on her door made her turn. Yes? Her mother stepped in, her black hair hanging loose around her shoulders, with the one lock of silver tracing the side of her face. What struck Leia the most was the mischief in her mother's smile.
Well, she said. I thought I should mention. Your father and I liked Keir Damadi very much.
Someday, Leia hoped, she would be too old to blush. She wished that day would hurry up and arrive.
He's...
At the last minute, she decided to try a different tack.
Thank you for asking him.
We thought you should have some company for a change. Bria spoke so sincerely that Leia felt bad for having suspected her mother of ulterior motives.
He's intelligent. He carries himself with poise. He obviously thinks the world of you.
How do you know that exactly? Leia wanted to ask, but kept her mouth shut.
Bria concluded, And he's very handsome, which a young man should be, if at all possible.
You've chosen well. Leia wasn't sure she'd made any choices for sure yet. But something about her mother's tone distracted her.
So what's the problem?
With a deliberately melodramatic sigh, Bria put one hand to the front of her scarlet silk wrapper.
I suppose a tiny bit of me hoped that my daughter's first romance wouldn't be so... suitable. Sometimes it does a girl good to fall for a bit of a scoundrel, now and then.
An utterly novel idea occurred to Leia. Mom, when you were young, you never... you wouldn't...
Good night, dear.
Bria turned back toward the door.
Mom?
Her mother simply waved airily as she went out. The question of exactly who her mom had fallen for before meeting her dad was equal parts disquieting and intriguing. Not even that could distract Leia for long. What she'd overheard tonight was far too incendiary for her to lie in bed thinking of anything else. Mon Mothma's right. It's our responsibility to do something, even if we still have to figure out the best steps to take. And she talked to me like I was an adult, not a little kid. If she sees that I can be trusted, maybe my parents will see that too. As Leia balled her pillow beneath her head, she began to shift her plans. Forget winning over Mom and Dad, she thought. If anyone's going to bring me into this struggle against the Empire, it's Mon Mothma.
Chapter 17. The next day, Leia spent hours holed up in the library, eating fruit and bread from a tray and drinking countless cups of tea. Neither of her parents appeared, but if they had, she was completely prepared to show them what she was working on. A thorough review of every single planet on the list of approved mercy missions her father had put together. Going over those worlds' cultures and needs was worthy and responsible, exactly the kind of behavior they would approve of. They didn't need to know that Leia was figuring out how to turn a voyage to one of these planets into action against the Empire. Not action the way this Saw Gerrera person defined it. Not even the kind of action her father was preparing for on Crait. She understood the limits of what she could accomplish as a 16-year-old girl with a ship at her disposal and very little else. The most she could offer in the struggle against Emperor Palpatine was evidence.
The Empire presented a polished, impervious facade that supposedly represented the strict rule of law. While they maintained many of the trappings of the Republic, modifying armor and uniform designs only slightly, those external signs of power had been made sharper, crisper, and more imposing. So much of Palpatine's authority rested on the illusion that he alone had been able to provide order after the chaos of the Clone Wars. But what he called order was merely control, and that control was exercised solely for the benefit of the most powerful among his sycophants. Planets that had their own wealth and influence remained sheltered from the worst of the Empire's excesses. Leia had learned the truth first from her parents, then through her work in the Senate. Surely very few people were still completely deceived. But the galactic populace at large couldn't possibly understand just how huge the gap was between Palpatine's promises and the tyrannical reality. "They don't see the worst of what he does," she thought, frowning as she crossed Dinwa Prime off the list of potential candidates. "I can document some of that and get that documentation to the people who'll know how to use it. That doesn't put anyone at risk but me." Not that her parents would want her to put herself at risk, but Leia didn't think the danger would be too great. She had diplomatic immunity thanks to her work with the Senate and her status as a Princess of Alderaan. Any number of plausible explanations would cover the kind of record-keeping she intended to do. But where to begin? She had to work from her father's list, or else her parents would catch on before she'd had a chance to accomplish anything. Ruas Minor remained shattered after Palpatine's last crackdown, but the harm had been done long ago, which meant proving the cause and effect might be difficult with her limited resources. An Alsana suffered in the aftermath of a trade embargo, but most of the proof of that would be found in their main cities, while her father had specifically limited her travel to the more rural northern continent. The famine on Chasmin. Leia sat up straight, re-angling her screen to avoid the glare of the afternoon sun now filtering through the tall windows. The famine on Chasmin had raged for years now, but it had begun when retaliatory strikes by the Empire irradiated vast swaths of farmland. The crime for which that planet was being punished, failing to meet an Imperial quota. It was a punishment that might devastate Chasmin for generations to come. She could take readings to prove the source and extremity of the damage done. The signs of it might even be visible in regular holo images. A smile stole across her face as she thought, "Thanks for the suggestion, Dad." Famine relief required considerable stores of food, seeds, and agricultural equipment, which meant it was necessary for Leia to commandeer the Tantive IV. She'd have been tempted to take that ship in any case. It was easier to avoid being noticed in the middle of a larger bustle of activity. As the crew hurried around, preparing shipment bundles for each area they'd help, she began looking for a little help of her own. "I'll need to be involved virtually every moment. It's not like I don't want to help these people, too. But these images have to be carefully shot, not chosen at random." "You there," she said to one of Captain Antilles' droids, a blue and silver astromech. "Can you help me?" It whistled in the affirmative, immediately wheeling over to her side of the cargo bay. Leia leaned down closer to it, the instinctive movement of someone who wanted to keep a secret, even if the droid was capable of hearing instructions whispered from much farther away. "I have special instructions for you." The little droid's semi-spherical head seemed to look up at her as it tilted back on its arms. She found herself smiling. It was always nice when a droid had personality, though what she needed most now was discretion. "I need you to keep these instructions secret," she ordered. "That means you reveal them to no one, not even Captain Antilles. I promise they don't break any regulations." The droid hesitated for a moment, a startlingly lifelike act, but then beeped in affirmation. Leia lowered her voice even more. "I need you to take holos and scans of the surface of Chasmin, most particularly the areas targeted by the retaliatory strikes from a few years ago. They're mapped out here." With that, she slid a data card into the reader slot just beneath the droid's semispherical head. Get as much information as you can, all right? I want everything. The droid whistled cheerfully and then rolled off, directly toward the central area for ship sensors. Clever little thing, she thought. And that gave her another idea. One more thing. The droid stopped rolling and turned its head around to face her as she hurried after it. If you have the chance, maybe you could tap into the local databanks to back some of this up. I know that gets closer to violating regulations, but if you put it through as cross-referencing ship sensors as a kind of maintenance check, I bet you won't be blocked. Apparently, the droid agreed, because with a few clicks and whistles, it went back to its task. The only hint of trouble came at the very end of their stay, when Captain Antilles began easing the Tantive-IV out of orbit, only to have a holographic image of a commander in the Imperial Navy shimmer into unwelcome life on the bridge.
I'm afraid a review of our long-term databanks reveals we've picked up some highly irregular scans, the commander said, her thin face pointed in nose, chin, and glare. Someone on your ship may well be responsible. We'll want to run a search.
Keeping Captain Antilles out of the loop had been a good idea, Leia realized, because even a professional actor couldn't have been as believably indignant.
This is a diplomatic vessel with clearance. We were here on a mission of mercy, as your own record should show. This is harassment of a member of the Imperial Senate, Commander, and it will be reported.
An apprentice legislator as a member of the Imperial Senate, that was stretching the truth a little bit. Leia's best move now was to stretch it more until it broke. She came up to the hologram, wide-eyed, making sure to appear slightly nervous. That always made her look younger.
Is something wrong, Captain Antilles? I didn't mean to.
Turning to the Imperial Commander, Leia clasped her hands together as if beseeching her.
I'm only a member of the Apprentice Legislature. I promise I didn't mean any harm.
Captain Antilles gave her a sideways glance, suggesting he didn't relish being publicly undercut in this way. Then again, he didn't know Leia was guilty. So he couldn't fully appreciate the relief that flooded through her as the Imperial Commander's expression shifted from doubt to contempt, all the way to amusement. Nobody looked at a young girl and saw a threat. That was an advantage her parents didn't understand yet, one Leia intended to use to the fullest.
I stand corrected, the commander said, a thin-lipped smirk on her face.
With a hand gesture, she signaled to someone outside of the holographic imager, and various flashing red signals on the Tantive-IV bridge controls turned green again.
Far be it from me to importune such a critical member of the government.
As the ship swooped out of orbit, one of the bridge officers muttered,
They get more paranoid all the time.
Captain Antilles didn't respond out loud, but the expression on his face revealed a moment of satisfaction. Leia could imagine him thinking,
Good. They should be afraid.
She made her way over to a small dataport alcove, where the blue and silver astromech had tucked itself. Bending low in front of the droid, she murmured, We cut it a little close there. In response, the droid brought up one of the screens, which began to flash with data. A lot of data. Leia's breath caught as she realized that the droid hadn't only gathered information about the current state of Chasmin, but had also collected information going back years, decades, which proved beyond any doubt the Empire's direct responsibility for the devastation. Few humans would have shown such initiative, and even fewer droids.
This is perfect, she said.
The astromech whistled in a self-satisfied way, as though saying, I know. Exhilarated, Leia input the commands to prepare multiple data cards. She'd rarely felt as powerful as she did in this moment, when she held the proof of Palpatine's wrongdoing in her hands. Her euphoria lasted for 2 days, until she returned to Coruscant and brought her evidence to the person she thought most likely to take action.
Your Highness,
Mon Mothma said, perhaps using the title to soften her words.
I'm afraid we can't do much with this.
What do you mean? Leia protested.
It's proof of what the Empire's done to a world that only failed to meet a quota. People are going to be furious when they see this.
Mon Mothma folded her arms atop her desk. Behind her, small ships darted through the Coruscant sky.
Here in the Senate, where we see so much of the official version of events, we sometimes forget that the average person on the average planet is subjected to less propaganda than we are. They listen to conversations and rumors far more than the official infocasts. We have to engage with the artificial narratives of politics, because that's how things get done in the Senate. But those narratives don't have much currency outside of Coruscant, and a few other core worlds. Yours and mine included. Either Leia wasn't understanding this, or Mon Mothma wasn't.
But this is proof!
No one needs any more proof. The people of the galaxy know Palpatine is corrupt and cruel. They've known that for a generation.
Mon Mothma leaned back, as if the weight of that knowledge had wearied her.
It isn't ignorance that keeps worlds in the Empire. It's tyranny and fear.
Leia slumped in her chair. She'd been so sure she'd accomplished something meaningful, that it had been worth the minor risk to the crew of the Tantive IV, that this would help her parents see what she could do. Instead, it was the exact opposite. Proof she didn't understand what she was dealing with, that she was in over her head before she was actually in at all.
Don't be discouraged, Leia. Mon Mothma managed a faint smile. If you think about this, you'll realize it's one of the most powerful weapons we have. Palpatine can dictate history here, in his academies, and in the Imperial Starfleet. But that tricks him into believing he dictates it everywhere. He doesn't. Trillions of people understand what he truly is. And with every day that passes, more of them become willing to do whatever it takes to see the Empire fall. Right now, they only lack a flag to rally around. Soon, I hope, we'll be able to give them that.
Even through her gloom, Leia was struck by how utterly calm Mon Mothma was. Her parents were courageous, but their dread of what was to come was both palpable and understandable. Only this woman looked completely ready to accept whatever came. She wasn't afraid, and it was difficult to feel afraid when with her.
Maybe it's not a flag we'll rally around, Leia thought as she watched Mon Mothma rise from her desk. Maybe it's a person.
The senator paced the length of her office, seemingly searching for the right words. The atmosphere suggested serenity and peace, with its pale colors, cushioned seating, and view overlooking the clouds. Even the cup of Chandrillan tea steaming on the desk promised calm. But the office, like its occupant, had concealed complexities. Finally, Mon Mothma said, "The day will come when evidence like this matters. When Palpatine has finally fallen, we'll need to rewrite their false history to reflect the truth. Documentation like this, gathered by honest people, that's going to give us a place to begin." Leia hadn't been angling to become a historian. Someday, when she could tell Keir about this, he'd appreciate the irony of her being the one to make the textbooks. "I'm glad it's useful." The words came out evenly. At least she could be proud of her self-control. Mon Mothma seemed to be proud, too, because she came to Leia's side and put one hand on her shoulder. "More than anything else, I'm honored that you trusted me with this. The Empire's worked so hard to destroy our faith in one another, throughout the galaxy. Only by daring to reach out will we ever make the allies we need. Maybe someday I'll be one of those allies," Leia said.
"You already are."
The kind words helped, as did Mon Mothma's smile. But Leia walked out of the office that day with a new sense of her own powerlessness. How could they fight an entire government? A way of thinking, a skewed lens for viewing the world. Maybe Mon Mothma and her parents would find a way. If they did, Leia doubted she'd get to play any part in it. Chapter 18. If only the next day's session of the Apprentice Legislature had been about something else. Anything else.
The issue before you today is to advise on sanctions against the planet Lolette,
intoned the RA-7 droid.
Their planetary government stands in violation of Regulation 16ME, regarding supplying fuel as necessary to Imperial pilots.
Leia sat in Alderaan's senatorial pod, sad almost to the point of numbness, as Hollows played out the Empire's version of events. In the official telling, Lolette had selfishly failed to assist the stranded TIE convoy. However, it was easy to glimpse the half-hidden truth. That TIE convoy would only have been left in the Lolette system for one reason, to intimidate the local populace. The planet had resisted refueling the ships sent to terrorize them. Now every person who lived there would have to suffer. And the Emperor had done the apprentice legislature the honor of deciding just what form that suffering would take. She glanced over at Kier to find that he was already watching her. If she'd been any less miserable, that might have flustered her, or delighted her. Instead, she could only shrug helplessly. He frowned in concern, but before he could say anything to her, the debates had begun in earnest.
I don't see any need to elaborate on the usual penalties, Harp Alor said, her black hair shining in the brilliant light at the center of the chamber. It's not as if this was an especially egregious offense.
Any offense against the Imperial fleet is egregious,
protested one of the representatives from Arcanus.
And such offenses are growing more common. We need to take a hard line now, before planets begin to believe they can get away with such blatant disrespect.
Chesalyn Stevis's drawl was so casual as to be cutting.
Oh, spare us the patriotic drivel. The standard procedure will be acceptable. If it weren't, do you think we'd have been sent this issue to deal with in the first place? The Senate doesn't delegate work to the apprentice legislature in the hopes we'll do something novel and creative. They delegate work to us when they already know what the outcome will be.
Leia's heart sank further. It wasn't as if she hadn't figured this out for herself after the fiasco with Ariel. But admitting that the apprentice legislature had little power and less autonomy meant acknowledging that here, too, she was entirely helpless. The standard punishment for violations of Regulation 16ME was an increase in tribute paid to the Empire, with the specific amount at the discretion of the provincial governor in question. If the planet was valuable enough, that amount could triple, creating a staggering debt no world could possibly pay. The only way out of debt like that was to surrender what little autonomy the planet still had and become fully, firmly under Imperial rule. Lolette would be far from the first planet to suffer such a fate. It would follow the dark pattern set by Umbara, Raxus, Castell. It's a puppet show for children, she thought bitterly. We're both the audience and the props. The Gadolinian pod swooped down, bringing Amelyn Holdo into the limelight. Holdo's hair had been dyed the same green as her cloak, though at least only the cloak had little bells sewn all over it.
If I may have this assembly's attention, surprises are yet in store.
Then she caught herself.
I mean, I have some more information that might shed light on this subject.
From the Glee and Sound pod, Leia heard someone mutter, Is this where she tells us how her dreams prophesy future fashion trends or something? She would have glared at them for ridiculing a fellow apprentice, if that prediction hadn't sounded exactly like something Amelyn would say. Amelyn's long face was tinted blue by the lights of the three-dimensional charts she brought up on the Hollows.
If you'll look at this, you'll see that it represents Lolette's fuel reserves at the period in question. Those levels are much lower than usual, to the point most planets would consider themselves in a state of crisis. My research indicates that the Lolette had taxed their reserves almost to the breaking point while evacuating one of their moons after major geological instability earlier in the year. They didn't give the Empire the requested fuel because they didn't have it.
It seemed to Leia as though she hadn't known she was asleep until Amelyn's words had woken her up. While she'd been searching for proof of Imperial wrongdoing in the farthest reaches of the galaxy, it was Amelyn Holdo who'd turned up another crime right under their noses. Never again would she let her mood make her so careless.
They had it,
protested the kid from Arcanus.
The chart clearly shows they could have filled the quota.
Only by completely depleting their reserves, Emmeline answered, pointing one of her skinny arms toward the holographic chart. She was so long-limbed it looked as though she might push her finger through the blue columns of data.
Lolette would have had nothing left to deal with any future emergencies in their system. Imagine their...
She visibly caught herself. At least she was trying to come across like a normal person, even if she wasn't quite managing it.
No regulations require a planet to put itself at risk in that way.
The Arcanist kid was unbowed. No regulations say a planet can hold fuel back for that reason either. If the Imperial Starfleet reported Lolette, and we've been assigned to levy sanctions, then that means planets are supposed to hand over that fuel when the Empire needs it.
Besides,
one of the Glee and Selm apprentices chimed in,
why does Lolette have to worry about some hypothetical emergency that might never happen? If something did come up, they could call on the Empire for help.
Emmeline shook her head.
The Empire doesn't always respond to those calls.
It felt like a punch to Leia's gut. Saying such things, even in private, among friends, felt like a risk. Only someone as guileless as Emmeline Holdo would ever speak a truth that explosive in public.
Excuse me?
The Arcanus apprentice seized the opportunity.
The Emperor has made it clear that his concern extends to all his peoples, and denying that is very nearly an act of treason.
Or sedition, Leia thought automatically. Kier leaned so close to her that she could feel his breath against her ear as he whispered,
we have to come up with a distraction, or else this is going to end with stormtroopers dragging Holdo off to jail.
She nodded. He was right. But what kind of distraction could they possibly come up with? For one crazy moment, Leia imagined pretending their pod was broken and driving it wildly through the air like this was Kitty Bump Speeders instead of a legislative assembly. Emmeline either hadn't caught on to the danger yet, or didn't care.
It's a big galaxy. Entire planets sometimes escape our notice. That's just... natural.
Maybe it's natural for you, snipped the Glee Anselm apprentice.
With your head filled with feathers. That's why they're always poking from your hair, I bet.
Leia decided rage was distracting. She got to her feet and raised her voice.
That's enough! If you're shallow enough to care about what anybody's wearing, then maybe you need to go back to playing with the other children and leave governing to people who've grown up a little.
The Glee Anselm apprentice had the grace to look embarrassed, but that only seemed to goad the one from Arcanus.
So you think it's appropriate to criticize the Emperor in public?
As baited hooks went, that one was pretty clumsy. Leia only raised an eyebrow.
I think criticizing other apprentices' clothing choices in public demeans this entire assembly.
Emmeline didn't appear to know a lifeline when she saw one.
I just don't think it's right to penalize a planet for... for...
She struggled for words that wouldn't doom her, and came up short. But that was when Kier cut in.
For a lack of clarity in the law. As you said, no regulations clearly state what a planet is supposed to do in this situation.
Leia seized on this.
Exactly. What we need to do is recommend new language for the legal code, so no other world will make a mistake out of confusion, like Lolette did.
The idea of recommending new legal code was novel for most of the apprentice legislators, and exciting. A hint at real authority. Immediately people began discussing who might draft the language and how they'd present it. Even the ones who wanted to make an example of Lolette were eager to establish a new regulation that would turn their severity into law. It occurred to Leia that Lolette would almost certainly be punished anyway. Whatever new law they proposed would have to be draconian in its harshness, requiring every planet to deplete its own emergency stores at the whim of any Imperial commander who came by, regardless of genuine need. But they'd bought Lolette a little time, a chance to maybe come up with sources of funding to deal with the eventual penalty. Not much help, but something.
That is, Emmeline Holdo bought them that time.
she said to Kier later, as the two of them walked along one of the broad skyways that led away from the senatorial complex. There was a weakness in the Imperial case, but I didn't even see it. It was tricky. Kier wasn't the kind of guy who felt the need to point out that he'd spotted the critical flaw for himself. He was more interested in what she was driving at. Leia considered her words carefully as they went along. A flickering hologram for some advertisement or other, throwing prisms of multicolored light through the skyway. It felt like walking through a kaleidoscope. Beneath them, thick ribbons of hover traffic levitated almost at a standstill. A true Coruscant traffic jam in three dimensions. "I've been feeling discouraged lately," she admitted. "Knowing what we know reminds me of how much there is to be done. When I let myself get discouraged, though, I don't see the opportunities to actually accomplish something good." He weighed her words for several paces more. She liked the comfortableness of the silences between them.
"You're always asking what you can do for the greater good."
Nonplussed, Leia nodded.
"You know, every once in a while it's okay to just live for yourself."
Kier held up a hand, forestalling her objection. "I'm not telling you to be, I don't know, selfish or trivial. You'd never want that. That's not who you are. But it's all right to just, you know, be a person. Every once in a while you can let go and live in the moment. I think you have to.
Because if you're carrying the weight of the worlds every single day, you get tired. You don't have your strength when you need it most, because you already burned yourself out."
That sounded much too familiar. He continued.
"It's okay to want some things just for yourself. To go out and have fun once in a while. To be glad your world is secure and the people you care about are safe.
Sometimes it feels like we don't have a right to be happy when so many others are suffering.
We don't have a right not to be happy, if we can be."
When she stared at him, Kier nodded.
"I mean it. If we all live in fear and misery all the time, his victory is complete."
She knew whom he was referring to. On a public walkway on Coruscant, it would be suicide to use Palpatine's name openly like this. Besides, they were learning to understand each other without words. Quoting an Alderaanian philosopher, Leia said, "Strength through joy." Kier grinned.
"Exactly.
Got any suggestions?"
"Let's see."
He pretended to consider the situation seriously for a long moment. By now they were walking very slowly.
"We could go to the Glarus Lagoons together the next time we're home."
The Glarus Lagoons were known for their spectacular scenery and sea life. Located in one of the thin ribbons of Alderaan's climate that was warm enough to be called balmy, the lagoons drew many travelers who longed for heat, sunshine, chances to swim or dive, or the famously romantic atmosphere. She tilted her head.
"You and me?"
Once again, she glimpsed the shyness she'd seen in him at first, back when she didn't even understand it was shyness at all.
"If you'd like."
Leia didn't answer right away. There was something about his face when he looked at her like this. That mixture of uncertainty and hope, and something else she couldn't name, but recognized within her own heart. This silence wasn't comfortable at all, and somehow that made it even better. "I would," she said. "I'd like that a lot." The smile returned to his face.
"Yeah?"
"Yeah." Maybe she didn't have to fight the entire Empire every single day. Maybe it was all right to find out who she was besides a senator in training or a princess. To find out what it meant to just be Leia. Chapter 19. Step one in being a totally normal person with totally normal concerns was to spend more time hanging out with friends, doing nothing. Leia had become comfortable with the people she'd gotten to know in her pathfinding class, but they still mostly spent time together on expeditions or in quasi-official gatherings tied to the apprentice legislature. Time to try doing something purely social, for no purpose besides wasting time, having fun.
but she hadn't expected to be hanging out quite so literally.
Imagine you're carved of wood.
Emmeline Holdo held herself firmly in the splits, despite the fact that she wasn't on the floor, but suspended in midair, held aloft by brilliantly colored scarves she'd acrobatically twisted around each leg.
Unbending. Unyielding.
Unbelievable, muttered Leia,
who had only just managed to wrangle herself into a seated position without feeling like she'd topple 4 meters to the floor at any second. Apparently this was a Gadolinian calisthenics practice called skyfaring, which was said to make their entire world stronger. The supposed reason for this was that advanced practitioners could meditate in place, unmoored to the ground, and so enhance their spiritual well-being and that of those around them. Leia thought the real reason was that the weak hung themselves in these damned scarves, and only the strong survived. She also wasn't sure she was going to make it into the strong category. As far as she could tell, skyfaring mostly involved pale blue leotards and a disregard for human life. All right, Leia muttered to herself. One leg out. You can do this. As she awkwardly reached out with one foot, trying to snag the nearest scarlet scarf, Emmeline easily unwound herself from the splits. She kept one leg tethered as she let her body fall back until she was suspended upside down. For someone so awkward and ungainly on the ground, Emmeline possessed considerable grace midair.
Remember, she said in her odd sing-song voice, you're made of wood. Strong but organic. Life force made material.
I'm carved of wood. I'm carved of wood.
Leia bent her knee and made a circle with her leg, capturing the scarf just right. For one instant, she felt a flicker of understanding of what carved from wood might actually mean. Encouraged, she eased herself into one of the lunging stances. Her sides ached, but she could keep her balance.
That's it!
Emmeline clapped her hands together. Her long hair, currently magenta, streamed down from her head like another of the bright scarves.
You're getting there!
In a rush of confidence, Leia extended her arms to complete the pose, and then spun out like a cyclone for a long second before she tumbled onto the floor. Fortunately, the surface was so springy she bounced once before making a soft landing. Still, she groaned as she flopped down with her limbs splayed wide. Emmeline rotated down to her, slowly spinning along the length of a pink streamer, with such elegance that if Emmeline were anybody else, Leia would have assumed she was showing off. She simply flowed into her position at Leia's side.
You didn't hurt yourself?
No, just drank deeply from the cup of humiliation.
Don't be humiliated.
Emmeline had a funny, crooked grin.
You did very well for your first time, especially as an off-worlder. Even natives don't get the swing of it until they're 5 or 6 sometimes.
Leia made a mental note to look up the child mortality rate on Gadolinta. This skyfaring room was part of the Gadolinian senatorial complex, something they considered important enough to maintain along with their offices. Many planets had such unique essentials, such as the Mon Calamari sailing tanks and the Toydarian wind tunnel for wing exercise. Maybe a meditative gymnastics complex seemed odd to Leia, but each planet set its own priorities. Emmeline said,
Why don't we do some basic floor stretches? That would get you more used to the muscle combinations involved.
Leia had the distinct sense she was being coddled. After her last tumble from the streamers, however, some coddling didn't seem like a bad idea. Let's try that. Even on the floor exercises, she had to work to keep up. Although her dancing and exercise classes kept Leia lithe and flexible, Emmeline could twist and turn her limbs in combinations seemingly impossible for a species with a skeletal structure. But she was good at suggesting modifications Leia could use, and helping her find the right mental state.
Any imbalance we carry within us, we carry into the sky. You have to be firmly grounded before you can try anything in the air. Would some more incense help?
Incense smoke already drifted so thickly through the air that they could have been in one of the fog forests of Eriadu.
I think we've got that covered.
Then maybe you should talk through the imbalance.
Emmeline struck a pose on one foot that looked easy to accomplish.
If you don't want to reveal too much in front of me, speak in metaphors. Many people find that enlightening.
Leia hit the same pose and discovered it was easy. At first. Holding it required significant muscle control. I can't come up with metaphors and do this at the same time, but I guess I can talk about a few things.
Bottling it all up inside definitely wasn't helping.
And as peculiar as Emmeline Holdo was, she genuinely tried to help people around her. That had to count for something.
All confidences during skyfaring remain in the room to dissipate with the smoke,
Emmeline promised.
Great.
Leia steadied her balance as she lifted her arms higher.
Well, for one, I've always been close to my parents, but it seems like we don't understand each other anymore.
The specific reasons why had to remain unspoken. Only Kier could be trusted with that truth. Every once in a while we'll connect, but most of the time, I feel like they're so far away from me, even when we're in the same room.
That's the evolutionary principle at work.
Come again? Still on one foot, Emmeline lowered herself gracefully to the floor.
If the young of the species don't have motivation to leave the care of their parents, they'll never lead an independent existence, which means they'll never reproduce. The species would soon die out. Ergo, the last stage of life before adulthood always involves conflict between parent and offspring.
Maybe the incense smoke was getting to Leia, because that seemed to kind of make sense, even if it certainly didn't explain everything between her and her parents. I'm also frustrated by how little we can accomplish in the apprentice legislature. The Senate has more power, but even they're subject to the Emperor. My whole life I've expected to go into politics, to try to make the galaxy a better place. Now I wonder if that's even possible. She flinched from the memory of the explosion on Onoam. The terrible smell of smoldering rubble and death. Her mother and father hadn't wanted that, but was that where plans like theirs inevitably led?
The Force gains strength from our intentions as well as our actions, Emmeline said brightly. We must try to stand and succeed, but we must never fail to stand.
No. The word came out harsher than she'd meant, and for the first time that day, Emmeline's smile faltered. Leia managed to be calmer when she added, good intentions aren't enough. They're not meaningless, but that's where we have to start, not where we end.
That's a good point, actually.
A wrinkle appeared between Emmeline's eyebrows as she considered this.
On Gatalenta, we try to lead the life of the mind, and in our culture, intentions can have great influence. We discuss them, judge by them. But in the galaxy at large, things are, well, less pleasant.
Leia nodded. Unfortunately, yes.
This will be the focus of my next meditative trance.
Emmeline shifted into a spine-defying backbend.
You've already given vent to your frustrations. Now speak to the joy in your life. What makes you happy, here and now?
Leia's heart provided the answer instantly. So much so that she was startled. Something in her quailed from that knowledge, but something else, far more powerful, kept taking her back to the shooting arena, or the hidden passageways of the palace, or the snowy ledge where Kier had brought her that first mug of Moko. She didn't say his name out loud. As she made her own attempt at the backbend, she asked, can it be morally right to feel happy when there's so much injustice all around us?
Of course. Happiness is our moral imperative.
That sounds... Leia actually got into the backbend, but felt like her abdominal muscles were pressing the breath from her.
Like hedonism. Not at all.
Lifting herself upright again with damnable ease, Emmeline said,
great evil can only be fought by the strong. People need spiritual fuel as much as they need food, water and air. Happiness, love, joy, hope. These are the emotions that give us the strength to do what we need to do.
That wasn't just the incense. That was genuine and true.
Leia flopped back down on the bouncy floor, really relaxing in Emmeline's company for the first time.
I guess all that meditation pays off for you guys.
Yes. Well, that. And it's pretty obvious you like Kier. You might as well use that energy, you know?
Leia opened her mouth to protest. But what was the point? It's like everything else is this raging storm, and he's the only safe place. The only one who lets me just be myself.
Beware words like only,
Emmeline said, wagging one long finger. But she was smiling.
Don't let your head be turned by the most dangerous substance known to exist.
Which is?
A pair of pretty dark eyes.
Then Emmeline thought about that for a moment.
Or more than a pair, if you're into grands. Or aqualish, or talls. Or even...
That's all right, Leia said through laughter. It's just humanoid males for me.
Really? That feels so limiting.
Thank goodness it's a big galaxy.
And she'd already found someone extraordinary in it. Later that afternoon, Leia walked through the senatorial complex in a good mood. Whether it was the incense, the conversation with Emmeline, or the promise of another pathfinding trip with Kerr in the near future, her gloom had been banished for the first time in too long. Apparently this being normal thing really worked. But her steps slowed as she saw staffers ducking into offices, hurrying along corridors, gesturing to each other to hurry into their planet's suite. Luckily, the Alderaanian suite wasn't far away. She reached it within minutes and rushed inside to find absolutely no one in the outer room. A crowd had gathered in her father's office. Leia poked her head through the doorway to see everyone clustered around the holonet viewer.
No loss of life, only through the courage of our Imperial stormtroopers. However, the attack on the convoy represents a profound danger to outposts in the Midrim region, and to the interconnectedness of our empire.
Only someone who knew Bail Organa as well as his daughter would have caught the slight exhalation of relief on the words, no loss of life. That was the only emotion he displayed, not disquiet or even surprise. This isn't like what happened in the Naboo system, Leia concluded. This is something my parents knew about. Something they planned. Something they helped to do.
False reports circulating through various informal channels claim that a medical frigate was captured,
the infocast reader continued.
Although many members of the frigate's crew were found to harbor treasonous beliefs and attempted to aid in the attack, the ship remains in the control of the proper authorities.
Most informed members of the Senate knew how to read through the lines of official holonet reports. If the medical frigate in question were still under control, its name would have been given. If crew members had been captured, at least one or two would have been named. Palpatine never hesitated to identify his enemies. The real message was that someone higher up on a medical frigate had wanted to remove it from the Imperial Starfleet, and with the assistance of starfighters, starfighters provided by her parents or their allies, had escaped with the sophisticated ship, its supplies, and its equipment intact. No loss of life, Leia reminded herself. Her parents had supported a swift, smart, non-violent operation, the kind of action she felt she could condone. But they'd taken a medical frigate. Those frigates were designed to handle casualties on a massive scale, like after a planetary catastrophe or a large-scale military conflict. She only knew that from history lessons about the Clone Wars. In her lifetime, no such battles had taken place. Leia had always hoped none ever would. Apparently, her parents had other plans. After the holonet had reported the exact same information three different ways, the huddle of viewers began to break up. From the outer corridors of the Senate chambers, Leia could hear numerous people talking among themselves. This would be the only subject most people on Coruscant discussed for the rest of the day. In Bail Organa's office, however, the staffers remained quiet. They went back to their tasks without a word. How much did they know? Were they working with her father? Or, if not his co-conspirators,
Were they at least willing to remain silent rather than confront the truth? She waited until she was the last person in her father's office, then pressed the panel to shut the door behind her.
Dad, this isn't a conversation we're going to have.
Bale met her eyes for only an instant before pulling up his work on a data pad.
How can you say that? I know what this means. If I know, it means the Empire knows too.
His hands on his data pad stilled, but he didn't look up.
Undoubtedly. Which means discretion has become even more important.
But Dad, how can the two of you-
Leia, stop.
At last, Bale lifted his head again, considering his daughter from what seemed to be far away.
The less you know, the safer you are. The less is said in this office, the safer the others here will be. Do you understand?
She already knew her safety was forfeit, but she hadn't considered his staffers. He'd found the one point that could make her let go. Nodding, Leia walked out of her father's office with a placid expression on her face, as though she were completely unbothered. Inside, however, her emotions were in a tumult, and she couldn't tell what was worse. The separation between her and her parents that seemed to widen all the time. Or her fear of the nameless conflict taking shape on the horizon. Chapter 20. 50 years ago, Felucia had been a remote jungle world on the outer edges of the Outer Rim, of interest to almost no one who didn't already live there. 20 years ago, it had become critical to controlling the Prelemian trade route, which made it a key battleground in the Clone Wars. 10 years ago, it had been a shadow of its former self, cities devastated by conflict. By the time Leia went there, Felucia was fulfilling the Empire's goal for it, which meant serving as a source of the healing plant, Nicillium. But nothing else. Yet the planet still claimed thick, near-impenetrable jungles and rainforests over much of its surface, which made it a good place for pathfinding practice.
I suppose I should be glad we're not climbing as much today.
Chasselin led the way as the humanoid members of the class slogged through mud up to their knees. Sam swam along merrily, feeling entirely at home.
But even snow's easier to march through than this muck.
Chief Panji called from behind.
Our first cliffs are coming right up.
Criff, Chasselin muttered. Leia wanted to laugh at him, but she was dangerously close to agreeing. They could see little in the distance but mist and the shadows of enormous trees. Surrounding them on all sides were tall, two-branched ferns that rose in striped arcs like a Togruta's montrels, oversized vines and roots that jutted up from the soil, and orange flowers that looked pretty, but had stems with sharp thorns. Short as Leia was, the mud came up higher on her, and was making the hike tough going. Kier walked alongside her. Never once did he try to take her arm and help her along. He obviously understood how much she would hate that. But he matched his pace to hers to keep her company. Originally, Emmeline had done the same. But after a raised eyebrow at Leia and Kier, she'd gone ahead, making her way easily through the mud on her long, stilt-like legs. At one point, when Chief Panji was busy shaking off a slime snipe, Leia dared to whisper to Kier, "You heard about the frigate, right?" He opened his eyes wider, clearly in warning.
"Of course. But we shouldn't."
"No, I didn't mean to." Leia glanced around. A few dangling strands of hair were plastered to her forehead and neck by sweat and sheer humidity. "I just meant that's more of the idea. More the right way to go about things. Something I don't have to forgive my parents for. Something I could support them in. Unless it leads to a more dangerous path."
"I'm not so sure," Kier replied.
They'd have to discuss that further. But Leia was distracted as their group stumbled from a thick patch of fog to a clearing that revealed the cliffs they'd climbed that day. They weren't nearly